This is the Drew Mariani Show. Where else can you pray with thousands of other listeners every day? Listen in to the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, where we're here for you on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, well, let's pray. Let's pray, pray, pray. You know, I know we all face situations that look like they will never work out. You might be in one of those situations right now where the odds are against you. Maybe the marriage looks like it's doomed. Maybe you're not going to qualify for that mortgage. Maybe the doctor says, you know, your numbers don't look good. You know, I think about the scriptures, you know, and when we come to pray, just think about some of the great figures like Martha. She faced that situation with her brother Lazarus, right? He was sick. And she saw the power of Jesus Christ. She saw how he healed, how he cured, how he raised from the dead. She saw Christ in action. And, of course, she wanted him to come and heal her brother, who she loved very much. And, of course, he was in another city delayed. And they waited for Jesus to come. But 3 days went by, no Jesus. And, of course, Lazarus dies. And then 4 days after the request, what happens? Jesus shows up, right? And it looked like it was too late. But it wasn't, was it? And I know that might be the case for you today. I just want to give you a little bit of hope. I was thinking about this when I was in prayer a little bit earlier today. Things might look like nothing will resolve the situation, or that it is too late, that the Lord didn't show up. He didn't answer the prayers that you, the way you wanted them. But I'll tell you what, that's not the case. I mean, Martha never gave up on Christ. She never gave up. Instead of complaining, what did she do? She said to the Lord, she said, look, if you'd been here sooner, he wouldn't have died. But even now, God will do whatever you ask. Can you imagine that? I mean, your brother's dead. That hot Israeli heat, wrapped up and put in a tomb for days. He's been dead for days. But Martha had the faith that you and I are supposed to have. She had that faith that brought her brother back from death. So when it looks like foreclosure's looming, or the jail sentence is ahead of you, or there's no way out of your financial quagmire, or the doctor tells you the medical report is not good, that's the time you need to put even greater faith and greater trust and greater prayer into your situation and believe boldly. Hold out that big cup and pray like Martha, right? Christ complimented the centurion who said, look, you don't even have to come. Just say the word. He understood that. Faith always touched the heart of the Lord. The hemophiliac who touched Christ's, you know, garment, and she had a bleeding disorder, and boom, she was healed. It's faith. It is faith in God. It's knowing that he can do this if it's his will. And I just know that the Lord's got great things in store for you. You know, you might feel like, my gosh, there's been nothing but trauma in my family. It comes down the family line. I don't believe that. I believe God, he's got great things in store for you. I think there's healing. There's better days. There are miracles. You think, oh, miracles are for someone else. No, they're for you. They are for you. I believe that. God wants to work in your life. He wants you to experience that profound love, that deep mercy. So today, let's do that. I just was touched by Martha's story as I was reflecting on it. I said, you know what? I want to have that faith too. That's big faith. I mean, her brother was dead. That's huge faith. You know, I pray for just a fraction of it, you know. I want to lift up a couple intentions here. First, I just received an email for a man whose husband, a person wrote, please pray for my husband's cousin, Austin. He passed away suddenly yesterday. He was only 22 years old. Wow. Don't know the day or the hour. Also, I'd like to ask everyone to pray for the soul of Ann's father. I'll keep the name confidential. Ann's a very faithful friend to Relevant Radio, and her dad passed away last evening. So my condolences go out to all those who have lost loved ones. I mean, we will all one day be reunited. I believe that. Life is a journey, and they go before us. Let's pray for their souls as well. Also, I want to pray for Dr. Rachel Garcia. She called in asking for prayers. She said she's organizing a very peaceful demonstration to show solidarity with her brothers and sisters in Cuba for an end to the tyranny that they're experiencing and the oppression of their freedom. Definitely be united in prayer. We'll ask for God to vanquish, you know, all these socialist, communist ideologies that just poison nations and enslave their people. And Lord, I just pray for my own country here too, that you be merciful to the United States of America. You allow us to be that shining light on a hill, and pray for our leaders, and we pray for protection as well. And one final intention as well. And Kurt, I'm grateful for your email. I want to pray for the repose of the souls for Kurt and Adam, who went to the Lord 5 years ago on Saturday. Both of these guys, you probably heard the story. A couple kids were on a pier, and a rogue wave swept through Lake Michigan and went ahead and swept these kids into the lake. They're caught in a riptide, and ultimately they drowned. And one of the boys was assuring the other that everything would be okay. And his father reached out to me the other day, and Mark, I'm praying for you. I'm praying for your family. I can't imagine what you're going through. This has devastated this particular family. And he just asks for prayers, to offer prayers for all those parents and siblings and friends who mourn and grieve their loved ones, the loss of their loved ones. And it's so strange how these emails all come in and how a current sometimes runs through the show. So let's pray for those approaching death and for those who've gone before us. I'm praying today with my colleague Jake. And Jake, it's good to have you. Anything you'd like to pray for before we get close to wrapping it up here?
Yeah, thank you, Drew. Yeah, I just feel called to pray for all of those who are discerning their vocation. I know that it can be a really tough thing to do, and my brother Zach is in that boat right now. He is discerning the priesthood, and I just want to lift him up in prayer for guidance.
Let's pray for our priests. We'll pray for all priests, seminarians, our cardinals, our bishops. Pray for the Holy Father and for the church. Let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You expired, Jesus, but the source of life gushed forth for souls, and the ocean of mercy opened up for the whole world. O font of life, unfathomable divine mercy, envelop the whole world and empty yourself out upon us. O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
O blood and water, which gushed forth from the heart of Jesus as a fountain of mercy for us.
I trust in you.
Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen.
Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus.
Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.
And I believe in God, the Father Almighty, the Creator of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit and was born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day, he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of God, the Father Almighty. From there, he will come to judge the living and the dead.
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and life everlasting. Amen.
Amen. We'll take our very first call today from Dean. He's listening in La Crosse, Wisconsin. Dean, good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Yes, three or four brief intentions. I have an identical twin brother who is in hospice, and he's very bitter, and he's lost all hope, and he needs conversion. He's an atheist. So I'd like to pray for a miraculous healing for him and a conversion. And then I have a niece who is a paraplegic and for a long time, and I want to pray a Lazarus healing for her too and conversion.
Amen.
And her mother, who has taken care of her all these years, suffered a stroke, and now they're faced with a crisis. Who's going to take care of the daughter? So I want to pray for her mother Jennifer's healing and for discernment, and then I do want to pray for the conversion of my whole family. And one last quick one is the health of our daughter in Mexico City.
All right, well, let's lift up all those intentions. Hey, my condolences to you right now, but let's pray for your brother especially. And it's so weird because, again, I really think the Lord works. When I see this current, this continuity, this repetition that happens within the chapel, I know the Lord's hearing these prayers and moving. And for those who reject God, those who are atheists, like his twin brother now on his deathbed, the Lord told St. Faustina, pray as much as you can for these souls. Pray as much as you can for the dying, because by your prayers, by those insistent prayers, by your entreaties, you will obtain trust in my mercy, because that's when they need it the most and they have it the least. He says, be assured, and this is the promise that God gave to us. He says, be assured that the grace of eternal salvation for certain souls, like Dean's twin brother, that the grace for eternal salvation for those eternal souls in their final moment depends on your prayer. So, Lord, I give you this soul and I ask you to save him. And I don't know what will happen between this side of life and the next side of life, but I just entrust him and all of Dean's intentions. I pray in a special way for those now approaching death, those who have died in accident and tragedy, and for those who mourn. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Will is listening in Hillsboro, Oregon, and he joins us today. Hi, Will. Good afternoon.
Hello. Hi. My sister-in-law, a few weeks ago, lost her mother, and I don't know if her mom was a Christian or even believed in God or not. So I'm just praying for salvation of her soul. I'm doing what I can. I don't know what else I can do. And the family has been struck by tragedy many times over the years. So just for any faith that they can just rely on God. And we also got another family member that is facing trial. And got a few homeless members of the family and a whole bunch that just don't believe in God. And wow. Just a messed up family. And I'm just praying for them, asking God for mercy for my entire family.
Extended, but you know, Will, that's all we can do, right? I mean, it's all we can do is trust in the mercy of God and pray for them. I mean, no doubt about it. I do want to pray for every one of those attentions. In particular, I want to pray for conversion. Those who are away from the faith, those battling addiction, those who are homeless, for dysfunctional families. Yeah, there's not a family that's not touched by some sort of dysfunction. And Lord, I just ask that you go in and that you heal. And take comfort also, Will, in the fact that, you know, God is outside of time. I often say this. You know, the Virgin Mary was immaculately conceived by Christ's death and resurrection, right? God hears our prayers. And for those who've gone before us, who have died, who may not have been close to God, I trust them to the mercy of God. You know, your prayers are eternal. The grace is given by God from those prayers. They can touch souls in ways that we'll never know. And I just trust in the mercy of God. So, Lord, I pray for Will, that he can be a light in his family. And I pray for all those who have very similar intentions now. And I ask for your mercy, a flood of graces on those now crying to you. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, Jake's been monitoring our Twitter feed. You can always tweet us your intentions as well, at Drew Mariani Show. And Jake, what's coming in?
Well, Aaron is lifting up an intention that I think a lot of us are praying for right now, praying for the people of Cuba and the situation that's going on there. And he says, may we join our prayer with them during this time as they pray to Our Lady of Charity. Cindy's birthday is today, so happy birthday to Cindy. She reached out to us on Twitter and asked that we pray for her and for her personal holiness as well. And Sammy has been struggling with depression and anxiety for a while, and well, she was pulled over recently for a DUI and arrested for that. So, you know, as she grapples with that, as well as the mental illness, let's just lift her up in prayer and everything that she's going through, as well as her family. And then Hong is praying for her son, that he will make peace with his dad before leaving overseas for his long-term job at the end of the month. So let's pray for all the estranged family members today.
Yeah, we'll lift them up, all those intentions, and we'll turn to the merciful Savior now as we pray. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Tom is listening in Malibu, California. Tom, good afternoon. Thanks for praying with us.
Hey, thanks for taking my call. Mm-hmm. I'd like to pray for a cousin of mine who's going to be undergoing cancer colon surgery this coming Monday. I want to pray for her health and well-being and for the return to the Catholic faith of all my six children.
Wow. Amen to that. Well, let's pray hard, okay? Let's pray big time. You got it. And we'll lift up that cancer. It's a problem that affects so many different families. And we'll pray for successful surgery and complete recovery. If God wants to use medicine, we praise him for that surgery. We thank him for that. We also ask for his divine touch. And I pray for those miracles, those Lazarus-like miracles, Lord. But I pray in particular, one of the most important intentions is the conversion of our loved ones, Lord, especially our children and those who have separated themselves from you, those who are lost. Be merciful to them. Hear these prayers, and by the sacrifice of your divine Son, allow graces and opportunities and individuals and situations to come into their lives to make them aware of your presence and draw them closer to your merciful heart. Eternal Father, we offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
In atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
All right, we'll go to the beautiful state of Maine. Hi, Mary. Good afternoon.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew. I'd like to offer a prayer of thanksgiving.
Great.
I got a mother's nightmare call in the middle of the night. My son was going to hurt himself, and it was just a terrible night for everybody. And but it was a good outcome. He's back home with me, and the prayer of Thanksgiving is I really believe it's those mother's prayers weekly to please, you know, protect my children, give them a safe week, please protect them. It could have been a very different outcome, but instead he asked for help.
Wow.
And,
that's great.
You know, it was a very scary night, and I'd like to pray for all teenagers. Life is really hard right now. And also then for his conversion. He's going through a fairly typical teenage struggle of, you know, just religion in general. So, but I'd like to offer thanks for it wasn't a worse outcome.
Well, and I want to pray for you too as a mother, you know, gosh, as a father, I know what it's like. You worry about your kids. And when something like that happens, it's terrifying when they want to hurt themselves. I thank you for calling and praying in Thanksgiving. And we're going to entrust your son. I want to entrust your family to the protection of the Lord. I ask, Lord, you always guard and guide this family, protect them from all sorts of problems. I want to pray for those with those who want to hurt themselves, who, who have suicidal ideations. Lord, I want to pray for those who don't think life is worth living. I want to pray for those addicted. I want to pray for those living a dangerous lifestyle. I want to pray in particular for parents and mothers and those who love their children very much and feel powerless. I ask you, hear the prayers of every parent crying out to you. And those prayers bear good fruit. Jake, do I have time for one more or I don't? All right, Lisette is listening in Chicago. Lisette, good afternoon. We'll add you to our final decade here with Mary.
Hi, good afternoon, Drew.
Hi.
First of all, I want to thank God for everything he permitted in our life.
Amen.
But I would like to pray especially for my husband, that he's going to start radiation on a Wednesday for throat cancer. And for all those who are battling with cancer, I want to ask the Lord for the conversion of my boys and for all the souls on purgatory.
Yeah, well, you got it. Let's pray for that right now. We'll add you along with Mary, everyone that's on hold, everyone that's written to us. And let's pray for the will of God. I think that's beautiful. You know, a soul that is resigned to God's will finds a freedom. And you know, you're going to see the hand of God in whatever circumstances or crisis that you're in. And Lord, we trust in your holy will. And I know it's only for our good. I know you love us more than anybody else can or does love us. So we submit our heart and our intentions to your divine wills. We pray, eternal Father. We offer you the body, blood, soul, and divinity of your dearly beloved Son, our Lord Jesus Christ.
And atonement for our sins and for those of the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
For the sake of his sorrowful passion.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Holy God, holy mighty one, holy immortal one.
Have mercy on us and on the whole world.
Eternal God, in whom mercy is endless and the treasury of compassion inexhaustible, please look kindly upon us and increase your mercy in us, so that in difficult moments we may not despair nor become despondent, but with great confidence submit ourselves to your holy will, which is love and mercy itself. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Jesus, I trust in you. Our Lady Queen of Heaven,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Good Help,
pray for us.
Mother of Mercy,
pray for us.
Our Lady of Guadalupe,
pray for us.
Virgin Most Powerful,
pray for us.
Saint Joseph,
pray for us.
Saint Faustina,
pray for us.
Saint John Paul II,
pray for us.
Saint Peregrine,
pray for us.
Saint Jose Maria Escrivá,
pray for us.
Saint Patrick,
pray for us.
Blessed Michael Sopochko,
pray for us.
And all you angels and saints,
pray for us.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Tweet us your prayer intention anytime on Twitter at Drew Mariani Show. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, thanks for joining me. I want to get you plugged into something that I'm wearing right now, you know, and you might have one. Maybe it was given to you years ago. Maybe you've never heard of what I'm about to tell you. It's called a scapular. All right. And today, of course, we remember the Feast of Our Lady of Mount Carmel. We'll talk about that with Dr. Mark Miravalli, who's going to be stopping by. I'm a big believer in sacramentals. I think the church has armed us in this battle with evil in so many ways. We've got the sacraments, which are so critical to the spiritual life, right? Sacramentals, they resemble the sacraments, right? They're external signs which, you know, blessings, especially, you know, spiritual ones, are obtained, but they differ from the sacraments. We'll talk about that. Sacramentals differ in a couple of ways. Sacramentals weren't instituted by Christ, right? But by the church. So there's a difference. And also the sacraments in which, you know, Christ conferred grace through the sacrament itself. Sacramentals are just, you know, they're forms of prayers that obtain grace through the merits of the church, and they depend on the disposition of you, of the person who uses the sacramental. And you know, this might be something you're not familiar with. Unlike sacraments, which really produce grace when you receive the sacrament of reconciliation or the Eucharist, you know, they produce the grace they signify. Sacramentals are the occasion for receiving some blessing from God through the church when we turn to them with faith. For example, the miraculous medal, the Holy Rosary, the brown scapular, holy water, you know, holy oils, blessed salt. I talk about these things a lot. And I think it's important not to overlook or poo-poo these things. I was talking to an exorcist not that long ago just about just as good spirits, you know, and blessings can be attached to a holy object like your rosary, right, or a cross. So can dark forces arrive with something that, you know, has attached or attracted the wrong kind of spirits. You know, take a look at the Ouija board or these pentagrams or a lot of these other things. What kind of protection do we have? What does the church afford? How do we better understand this? Can you, for example, instead of wearing a scapular, which is a piece of brown cloth, you know, connected by a couple strings on either side, can you get a tattoo? You know, can tattoos be sacramentals? Tattoo a Saint Benedict image or a cross or something else? Here to answer those questions and a whole lot more. I'm just throwing a lot of stuff on the table. And friend of the show, he's also, of course, holds the St. John Paul II Chair of Mariology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. Doctor, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Thank you, Drew. It's always a pleasure. Happy feast day to you.
Happy feast day. I'd love to get your take on this. Today we'll talk, I think we should talk sacramentals. We should talk the brown scapular in particular. But let's start with sacramentals and what the church teaches, how they differ from sacraments, and why we should embrace them. I know a lot of people, you know, several people, they don't know. Blessed salt, never heard of it. You know, blessed oil, what? Blessed candles?
Yeah.
So let's maybe establish what the church teaches regarding sacramentals, and we can focus on today's gift, which is really the scapular. There are incredible promises attached to it.
Right. Well, indeed, you know, typical to your cyber doctorate in theology, you did a very nice job in the intro making the key distinctions. Jesus institutes the sacraments, but the church institutes sacramentals, and the purpose of the sacramentals are to lead us to the sacraments. Now, so you always want to default to holy things. Satan hates rosaries. Satan hates scapulars. That's why we should always have rosaries and scapulars on us. That's a good thing. We want to offset the dark realities, which we call demons. That's just simply a reality in the spiritual battle. Today's a big one, Drew, because the scapular is really a promise of the graces of salvation with the right disposition. So let's go right to Vatican II. Vatican II in Lumen Gentium 62 says that Our Lady, quote, brings us the gifts of eternal life. And it will later say that it is acceptable to call her advocate, mediatrix, and these titles. But the titles express what she does for us. So as the tradition of the church holds, when Our Lady appeared to St. Simon Stock and gave her a promise that those who wear the scapular will not suffer eternal fire, that they will be saved. That's Our Lady interceding as the mediatrix of all graces for our salvation. You know, many listeners, including Catholic listeners, and certainly, you know, our Protestant brothers and sisters might say, you know, I just don't get that stuff. I mean, you say that having a piece of cloth over your shoulders can affect your eternal salvation, or, you know, the five first Saturdays that happen with Fatima, how can that give you a promise of salvation? Well, here's the foundation, Drew, and this is where we always want to begin. It's always based on God's grace, our freedom. The graces are infinite, but God the Father has the ground rule, and that is he can't force grace on us. We have to freely accept the graces of our salvation. And then Our Lady comes in after John 19, right, when Jesus says, "Behold your mother." He doesn't say, Would you like my mom as your mom? He says, behold your mother. So Jesus gives us his mother to be our mother, and then Our Lady plays that key role of being able to, once we express our free consent, whether it be by putting on a scapular, whether it be by doing the five first Saturday devotion at Fatima, if we fulfill what Our Lady has made as a condition of our freedom to get graces of salvation, then she can intercede, and intercede powerfully, because it's following God's playbook. It's grace, which we need, which always comes from Jesus, our only Redeemer. It is our free will exercised by putting on the scapular or doing the five first Saturdays. But that always leads us to the heart of the prayer and sacramental life of the church. And that's why this is not arbitrary. This is not lightweight. This is not secondary stuff. This is Our Lady using her role given by Jesus to unite us to him by our consent. And that's why the scapular is such a beautiful witness, and that's why today is such a beautiful remembrance that Our Lady is always at our side, interceding for our salvation.
My guest today, Dr. Mark Miravalli, if you want to join us, we'll take a few of your calls. Feel free to dial in, 888-914-9149. We're taking a look at the scapular. We'll also talk about Our Lady of Mount Carmel. But, Doctor, let's go to Chet. He's listening in Austin, Texas. He's got a question for you. Hi, Chet. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Thanks for taking my call. Doctor, I have a brown scapular for years and started to rash with it and so on, so I would fold it and carry it in my pocket. A number of years ago, I was given a scapular medal, and I wear this medal religiously, never take it off, carries the same significance as the brown cloth scapular.
Yeah, that's a very good question. And in fact, there's a little history to that. The nutshell is you're absolutely fine in using the scapular medal. That was first given permission when Masonic forces in the Mexican government in the 1920s would search, and anybody who had a scapular would end up, you know, in the Gulf of Mexico as martyrs. Yeah. And so the Holy Father granted permission to have a medal rather than an external, more easily, you know, visible external symbol of the scapular with the same promise. So, yeah, the church has granted that. I mean, there's a beautiful symbolism. But, you know, scapula in Latin means shoulder. So something over the shoulder indicates that you are like the ox that has, you know, what guides him over his shoulder. So it's really saying, you know, Our Lady, I'm giving you permission to guide me. I'm surrendered to you. Some have said even it's an external sign of internal consecration. But there are occasions where, as you were mentioning, you're rashing, or it's something that is, you know, not key to the grace you want to receive. And the church has provided for situations like that. So, yeah, you can continue to use the scapular medal in total peace. Why? Because the church has said so, and we always obey that. So, it does have that same beautiful gift and grace and power and promise.
Thanks, Chet. Actually, I didn't know that. Go ahead, Chet. Now let me follow up.
I was just going to say thank you so much for that information. And, you know, I always kind of had a little bit of doubt at times whether or not it carried that same significance. But thank you for that information.
Yeah, Doctor, it makes me want to dump my scapular and get a medal. Where would my St. Benedict
do it, Drew. Don't do it. Well, once you start rashing like Chet, maybe you can think about it. But there is a beautiful witness to the scapular when you can wear it. Remember, the symbolism is powerful. You know, again, the oxen and the religious who started to put that scapular as a sign of protection over the shoulders. That's a beautiful image. And, you know, if there's a little discomfort, that's okay, too, because guess what? Penance is supposed to be part of the gig down here, as we all know well. But if there's a particular reason that has, you know, that makes it such, that's why we always obey the church, Drew, whether it comes to scapulars or, you know, motu proprio, We can have a background. We can have a perspective. It can be, you know, it can weigh heavy on us, but we're Catholic because we obey. We're Catholic because we know that the Vicar of Christ and the Magisterium is what ultimately guides us in truth, and that's where our peace. And that's why Chet is, should feel no guilt in wearing the medal, right. And you should definitely feel guilt if you go to the medal. How about that, Drew?
Well, how about this? How about this? Let me throw another one at you. There are some people who get tattoos, right? And somebody wants to ask the question, can I get a tattoo, let's say, of the Miraculous Medal, St. Benedict Medal, the Divine Mercy Image, whatever it might be. Can you get a tattoo in place of you know, having that particular sacramental on your person? Because then, now it's there perpetual.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so now we're going from the clearest principle to the most opaque possibility, but I'm happy to give an opinion as long as it's ahead. Only that. This is only the gospel according to Miravalli, which is very dubious. Right. So I would say, you know, in general, you want to stick with how the church has done it, unless there's a specific reason to deviate. Now, having said that, I'd also say, you know, our Lord knows what's in our heart. And if someone is saying, I know a religious sister that had a tattoo placed on the back of her neck. Clearly, I'm quite aware of the general prohibition of tattoos in terms of, you know, mutilating the body, whatnot. But this religious sister was trying to say to God the Father that, I am always yours. So she had a little tattoo done on the back of her, across her shoulders, with that reference. I don't believe that that would be offensive to our Lord. I think the heart. Yeah. So let's say someone, without listening to your astute program, went out and got a tattoo of the scapular. However, you know, the church certainly has not approved that in any particular way. I would think, I would speculate that God would understand that if a person's trying to say, I am always under the protection of Our Lady, that there could be a positive to that. But I say that with all the said disclaimers, Drew.
Okay, I love it. That's well said. All right, our number here, if you want to get in, 888-914-9149. Richard is listening in Plainfield, Illinois. Richard, thanks for joining us.
Yeah, one thing I haven't heard from anybody is there's certain things. Isn't there like, as a person, you've got to do certain things. You've got to be, it's not just... I'm a regular guy and I'm wearing my scapular, but it's there's certain things that accompany that, or in order to receive those blessings.
Right.
Is that not true?
So here's, and that's a very good question too. And
it is.
If we were talking in the 1950s, it'd be a little different than us talking now in the 2021s or 2020s here. So here was the process. There was something called a Sabbatine privilege, and the Sabbatine privilege was the position of a holy father that believed, in fact, that Our Lady appeared to him and furthered the kind of promise element of the scapular to say, you know, not only will Our Lady intercede for the graces of salvation, not only will you not suffer eternal fire, but that Our Lady, under certain provisos, would also take a soul from purgatory on the first Saturday, therefore Sabbatine privilege, after their death. Now, with the Sabbatine privilege, there were other indications that were added, other responsibilities, certain prayers, a certain designation by your spiritual director and whatnot. Now, since the council, it's been in general more to wear the scapular. Obviously, to remember that the scapular is an indication of devotion to Our Lady, and then to also be enrolled in a confraternity of Mount Carmel. So, because, again, the promise was given to Carmelites by Our Lady through St. Simon Stock. So the sense of any priest and deacon being able to enroll you into the scapular confraternity, which is really a Carmelite confraternity, is what, you know, allows you to, in a certain sense, join the Carmelite family and benefit from the promise given to the Carmelites. So that's the general teaching and pastoral practice since the council. I mean, is it possible that with those other elements you're talking about, Richard, that you know, that could also incorporate the Sabbatine privilege? certainly that's possible. But in the new Indulgentium of 1974, those specifics are not included. So the kind of a long-winded response to basically saying it's a little bit more general now doesn't mean that it's not still valid, but it's not approved with the same clarity as before.
Well, Doctor, hold the thought. I had to take a real quick pause here. When we come back, I only have the doctors, I often say, just for a few moments on the other side. If you want to get in, we're talking sacramentals, in particular the brown scapular. And it's not a lucky charm, but there's been some powerful promises given to those who wear it. If you're just joining us, we'll bring you up to speed on the history of it and more. Stay with us.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio. A look at life you won't find anywhere else.
Catholic Order of Foresters is proud to sponsor the Relevant Radio studio line. For information about employment opportunities and flexible premium life insurance plans, visit relevantradio.com/Forester.
No hype, just hope. The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Well, it's good to be with you. If you're just joining me, taking a look at Our Lady of Mount Carmel and, of course, the brown scapular. Came to a Carmelite monk in England. This guy's name was St. Simon Stock. And the Virgin Mary appeared with a promise that anyone who wear the brown scapular, you know, you'd be saved. And people have been invested in the brown scapular. It's not a good luck charm. It's a sacramental. It's a way to help us recall that we've been claimed by Christ and that we need to live our lives the way that he did. If we're going to enter into salvation, and you know, we can get into what the Virgin Mary, here's what she said. She says this to St. Simon Stock. She says, take the scapular of mine as a badge of my confraternity with you and all the Carmelites. It's a special sign of grace. Whoever dies in this garment will not suffer eternal fire. It's a sign of salvation, a safeguard in dangers, a pledge of peace, and of the covenant. And look, you know, again, Dr. Miravalli is my guest. He's a very gifted Mariologist and professor of spiritual theology. He holds a St. John Paul II chair of Mariology at Franciscan University of Steubenville. And he's gone through explaining this. If you missed it, it's in hour one, the first part of this hour, the bottom part of this hour. You can revisit the conversation. Doctor, I know you wear a scapular. I have a scapular on. And I was thinking about this. I had a conversation with a couple of my colleagues here at work yesterday just about the rosary and Marian devotion. This is a big part of Marian devotion. And sometimes people can get superstitious over these types of things, you know, and they become, you know, lucky charms for them, and that's not what they were intended to be. But I do think they help keep our focus on the Mother of God. And I think we live in a special time. I've said this before, where God in his mercy has sent her to the world with a very urgent message to call us back to our son Jesus. It's really a re-echoing of the message of John the Baptist, you know? And we need it more than ever, because the sin abounds, I believe, grace abounds all the more. We're very confused, and yet some of my colleagues were saying, do you think people pray the rosary? Do you think people have the same level of Marian devotion that they used to have? And it was an interesting question to me, because you and I both remember very vividly the Marian movement in the early 80s and early 90s, 80s and 90s, where all these apparitions were being reported. There were Marian conferences. People were praying the rosary. Have things changed today? Have we gotten away from the rosary, from the scapular, from Marian devotion? Is Marian devotion today fading? Things come and they go in greater force. Where are we right now, and how critical is this devotion for this particular moment in time?
Yeah, Drew, I mean, that's a big question and an excellent question. And I would have to sadly say, I think overall we're being distracted. I think overall, I mean, there used to be Marian conferences of 10, 12,000 people almost monthly. And now there's just a less emphasis there. I think we're being so focused on the temporal and the now that we're forgetting the eternal in ways that are really precarious. I think people are more dedicated to focusing on the latest science CDC report than they are about praying the rosary and doing Marian consecration and daily mass. Now, let me be very clear. I'm not talking about an anti-science or a anti-stewardship position. I'm talking, Drew, about priorities. Have we lost the understanding that Jesus is the ultimate savior and liberator, and the greatest evil, the greatest opponent we face is not a germ. It's not a virus. It's a demon. It's the devil. He's the one we should fear, someone that can contaminate our soul. I think gradually and subtly, at least for many, we've put so much focus on the here and now and health that we've put really the spiritual dimension on a back tier. Well, so let's be very clear. It's Our Lady, it's the Mother of Jesus, it's the co-redemptrix, mediatrix, and advocate that keeps us focused on Jesus, who is the Alpha and the Omega, regardless of the latest numbers or reports of a serious temporary thing. So I want to say again, I'm not talking about an anti-science or an anti-health perspective. I'm talking about, what is your hierarchy? What is your level of priority? And if physical health is more important than spiritual grace, then we've got problems. That's a crisis of faith. It's always a both and with the Catholic faith. So it's Our Lady. It's the mediatrix of all graces, which is so honored today with the wearing of the scapular, that keeps us focused on her Eucharistic Son, our Lord. And then she helps us, like a good Jewish mother, cleaning a house. But she does it for our hearts, Drew. She's then the one who puts a proper priority order in our lives, in our hearts, in our homes. That's why it's so important that we cannot disregard our devotion to the Mother. We got to keep the beads going more. We should have more scapulars on. There should be more Marian consecrations, because she's the one who leads the battle against the adversary that can take our soul.
Let me put a quick plug in for the Rosary, which we pray every night here at 7 o'clock with Father Rocky. You can always join him. Maybe tonight's a good night to do that with your family. You know, pray for conversion, pray for the country, pray for, you know, for all of Our Lady's intentions. Rosary at 7 p.m. Central Time. You can do the math in whatever time zone you're now listening to me in. Of course, Father Rocky wrote a book on the Rosary as well. And if you want it, it's free. I know there's limited quantities of this. And when they're gone, they're going to be gone. But no shipping, no handling. There's no strings attached. If you'd like to have this book, it has the writings of John Paul II, St. Jose Maria Escriva, and Father Rocky does a reflection, I think, on the litany of Our Lady as well. All there for you. All right, just go to relevantradio.com/treasures, relevantradio.com/treasures, and you can get that. I do believe we're in a special time, Doctor, a special time of grace, and we need Our Lady more than ever today, that's for sure. All right, let me go, and we'll take a few phone calls. And then before we wrap it up, I want you to say a prayer. I'd like to invoke Our Lady of all nations. We need that more than ever today. Jake, who's up next? He is telling me, let me see, Vicky is up. No, not Vicky. Who did you say, Jake? I'm sorry, Diane in Austin, Texas. Hi, Diane.
Hi.
Go right ahead. You only got about a minute, Diane.
I was wondering if the investiture with the brown scapular, which my church is doing this evening, but I'm not able to make it because of family obligations. Is this the day that it is done on, or can it be done on another
That's a good
occasion?
Question.
Yeah, Diane, any day by any priest or deacon. So it is not at all reserved today. So that's a wonderful thing. Get invested, but ask a priest or deacon at any time, and it's a very brief, beautiful prayer, and you will be fully invested.
Joyce, a doctor, is listening in Pennsylvania. She says she always put a brown scapular on her mother, but when her mother died, she didn't have it on. She's just wondering if God would honor her intention.
Yeah, again, not knowing the fullness, Drew, but always err towards mercy. Always assume mercy. And if she wore religiously and faithfully over the years the brown scapular, if she took it off at the end or for shower, things like that, there should be a peace, because our Lord knows the heart of your mom and knows Our Lady's love for her. So I would be at peace.
I have less than a minute, Doctor. Why don't we wrap up with a prayer invoking the protection of Our Lady?
As we pray, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of the Father, send now your Spirit over the earth. Let the Holy Spirit live in the hearts of all nations, that they may be preserved from degeneration, disasters, and war. May the Lady of all nations, the Blessed Virgin Mary, be our advocate. Amen.
Amen. Doctor, thank you. Always great to talk with you. I'm grateful for your time and your expertise. Stay with me when we come back. We'll change gears. It seems that the mask mandate has returned. We'll take a look at the Delta variant. We'll take a look at what the FDA is saying about the J&J vaccination and neurological problems. And even a bizarre story that coffee consumption might impact whether or not you get COVID or not. Stay with me. That and more coming straight up.